some of the things that David said. I like to study body language. I'm a kind of psychology guy. And so I like to study body language and kind of how people react. You can tell a lot about somebody by their body language, but also their body language also affects their attitude. So if you have a certain position body language, you start reflecting that body language. That's why you say if you wake up in the morning and you force yourself to smile, you'll have a good day. Stuff like that. You can change your attitude by your body and shaping your body. And I guess when you're praying, this kind of occurred to me, like when you're like this, what do you think of? Like open, honest, vulnerable kind of thing. And as if you keep that motion, you tend to think, you know, those thoughts and more open and honest to God. Whereas if you're like this, it's more of closed, like keep distance. And so it can kind of affect your prayer life. And that's something that I've never thought of before. And I really appreciate David's talk today about posture and that thing. That's a freebie if you want to help that your prayer life. I won't charge you for that one. No need to tip me for that one. But I that's something that I've never thought of that was totally different that can help your prayer life. You don't have to do it in like, you know, in public prayer, but maybe something good for your own spiritual, personal prayers to God. So that's a freebie. I haven't even started yet. Okay, so today we've talked yesterday Andy opened us up with power of prayer. And prayer does not have the power. We got that very clear. We would like some prayer right now, but it's distant right now. But prayer doesn't have the power. God has the power. And we need to keep that in mind as we're going to him, that God has the power. It's not prayer. It's not just some kind of act. Then this morning we talked about some of the reasons to pray. Some of the why we go to God in prayer. And that we need prayer. We need to make prayer an important part of our life. And then David talked about the posture and some of the attitudes that we need in prayer. So hopefully by now you're like, great, there's the power of prayer, there's the posture of prayer, there's the way, the reasons we go pray. Okay, let's pray. Now, how do we do it? And that's what this kind of lesson's about. It's the practice of prayer. I thought about, it's practice, so let's just pray for an hour and let's see how it goes. But you just ate, you're hot, you just ran around. There may be some disgruntled noises that seep out if we just pray for a straight hour. And also, it can be kind of intimidating to start out with. You know, just pray. Come on, pray. It's so big, you're just talking to God. Come on. But it can be intimidating for a couple of reasons. One, you're talking to God, and that's what we've talked about sometimes. You're talking to God, creator of everything, all-powerful God. And we need to keep that in mind. And we shouldn't just say whatever comes to mind. We should have reverence coming before him. And David talked about that. Ecclesiastes says, come with fear and don't use quick words when you're coming before God. Understand who you're coming before. But also, you kind of just don't know what to pray for. There's a whole bunch of stuff, things to do. And so these are some tips that are helpful for me personally and that I've gathered from people that I respect and trust, and hopefully they can be for you. This isn't very formal. If you want to raise your hand or you have a comment and something that's really helped your prayer life, think about those. I'll probably get yours at the end, but you know, just comment and say what's helped you, because we're all Christians trying to help each other, trying to live better lives, pleasing lives towards God, and using prayer as a part of that. So we're helping each other here. I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You don't have to turn there. It's very simple. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. What do you think that means? Put that in your own words. Practically.
Like,
Good, good. And I think that's, I have like two things out of it, but that's one. That's what I have is always having a spirit of prayer. Whenever something comes up in your life, you're like, oh, I need, I pray about that. A worry or concern, then your first reaction is prayer. Or you see something that God's done, we kind of talked about this, and adoration or thanksgiving is just like, oh, it's prayer. And you're just constantly thinking, I have some time alone where I'm driving somewhere, turn off the radio and pray. It's constantly having that mind of looking where to pray. Like, one of the best things I've learned about evangelism is just having your mind open to evangelism, always looking for those opportunities. And if we can do the same thing with prayer, always looking for opportunities, always looking to have that spirit of prayer, then that will help our prayer life exponentially. And that will develop a real relationship with God. If you only, the other half is, having a habit of prayer. But if you only come to God and only at one time each day or two times each day, then, how would that work with your relationship? You tell your girlfriend, your boyfriend, I'm only going to talk to you for these 15 minutes right here every day, and that's all you get, okay? You won't really grow because you have to live with them. He has to be part of your life. And so that's an intricate part of your life, is always having that spirit of prayer. And then the second one is constantly being in the habit of prayer. And this one's harder for me. The first one's easier for me because, it's just, you get in that mind, the habit of there, I can have a concern. That's when I pray the most, is when I'm going through something, with trials, and I don't know what to do. It's always like, I have this thing I need to deal with, I need to pray. But when I'm not going through stuff, or stuff, I don't see things, then that's when it's hard, and that's where my prayer life kind of declines. And so it's also being in the habit of prayer, constantly praying. It's kind of what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 6. We looked at that a little bit. It's no matter what, praying to God, having a set time. He prayed three times a day. That was his schedule. Morning, noon, night. Three times a day as window. That's what he did. And he never broke that no matter what. And that we need to have that same kind of prayer life in our life. So I'm just going to give you some tips that has helped my prayer life exponentially. And these are things that most of them I just started this year, and I can see so much better than I was all my years in the past. The first thing is to schedule your praying. We schedule things that we deem important. That's what we do. If it's important enough, we schedule it. We make time for it. We make room for it. One of the biggest excuses that we had was, I don't have time. I don't think about it. Those kinds of things. I'm not ready. If we schedule a time, then we will make time for it, and we will have a set time. That way we don't forget about it. We make time for those things that are important. Another tip is to schedule it at a time that you won't be distracted. That's a big thing for me. If I think somebody's going to walk in while I'm praying to God, then I can't focus. It's really hard to focus. That's like one of the big problems with prayer, is it's really hard to focus sometimes. And so when you schedule your time, a tip for me is to do it at a time which you won't be distracted. Turn off your cell phone completely. Turn it off. Make sure there's no buzzing, nothing to distract you, and dedicate those 15, 30, whatever minutes to God. If Jesus was in your house, would you, speak it to you? Would you allow anything to distract you? Anything at all? And if you only have 30 minutes with him, no, you would take every chance that you have, every minute that you had, to converse with him and ask him questions and be with you. And then also stick with your schedule. Stick with your schedule no matter what. If somebody calls you and says, hey, at 2:30, which is when you schedule your prayer, we're going to go golfing or shopping or whatever, just kindly say, well, I have an appointment with someone more important than you, so thou'll have to wait. And you stick to it. If you just change your schedule around or you do something different, then you'll never keep a consistent time. Because have you ever, like, maybe you had this, you go to the seminar, you hear a really good lesson on prayer, and you think to yourself, I'm going to get up 30 minutes earlier. I'm going to get 30 minutes earlier, and I'm going to dedicate that time to God. And I'm going to set my alarm 30 minutes earlier, and I have this coffee pot that has the programmable coffee, so the smell of caffeine will wake me up and get me out of bed. But something happens in the middle of the night, your friend calls you at like midnight, and you talk until like 1, and then you have bad dreams, or just loud thunderstorm night, or something happens, and you're just like, I'm not feeling it. And you're like, I'll just pray at lunch. And then lunch, you know, somebody comes over, it's not quiet, maybe you're at work, and your boss doesn't let you have a full break. And then you're like, well, I'll just wait until dinner. And then your friends come over, and it just life starts happening, and it just kind of gets pushed back. And by the end of the day, you're very tired. You're not your full capacity to pray. And so you just kind of let it slip by, or you just say a quick prayer, and you're done with it. Has that ever happened to anyone? It's happened to me, like, countless times. And so if we make a schedule, a set schedule time, and we stick with it, preferably earlier in the day, so, like, we've had that, we started up our day, right? Which, as it gets me, I'm not a morning person, I'm a night person. But if we make that time and schedule, then we don't let that slip in our day. Another thing is that has helped me, is once you make that schedule time, do two things. One, don't allow yourself something that you want to do until you've actually done your praying for the day. I've done this before. I would not let myself go to bed until I've done my push-up and sit-ups for the night. I won't let myself go to bed. Don't let yourself go to bed until you've prayed to God. Don't let yourself eat before you pray God. Some of us, that's a pretty good motivator. And put your time into God. Second, which is very valuable, this, if you take nothing else, take this. Get someone to help you. Get an accountability partner. Because you'll push each other. You'll gain each other. And then you'll discover things in your prayer life from that other person. It's very helpful. They'll keep you on track. So if you have like a best friend here or best friend, get them to be your accountability partner. Have them push you. And that way you'll stay with your schedule. Okay. The second thing is have a place for prayer. I've already said make your place for prayer, not distracting. But have a place for prayer, a specific place. Now, you can pray anywhere, and that's kind of the first type that we talked about. You pray anywhere. But for your scheduled prayer, your time devoted to God, have a place where you pray always. I mean, if you remember Daniel, he had it at the window. That was his place. I've had it at back home. I had it in a chair. It was a specific chair. I would never sit in it except for if I was praying. I'm not talking to other people, not talking on the phone or not looking on the computer. That chair was for praying and praying only. And you know what that did? Every time I looked at that chair, I thought of praying. I thought of going to God in prayer. And whenever things happened and I missed my scheduled prayer, I could look at the chair and be like, oh no, I forgot that to pray today. Also, it gets you in the zone. It gets you in the zone to think, oh, I'm going before God. And after you develop a habit, that'll become a lot easier. Also, I would recommend wherever your place is, don't make it your bed or your lazy boy. Why would I say that? Because you won't finish. You'll drift off to sleep. How many times have you been like, I gotta pray. Okay. You're laying in bed and be like, okay, dear Heavenly Father, thank you. And you're gone. Now, we can dispute whether that's like precious or that's kind of despicable. If you had your scheduled prayer, you've constantly been talking to God this entire time, and then you are constantly talking to Him even when you're drifting off to sleep, I think that's, you know, that's precious. But if that's the only time you've talked to God all day, and then you fall asleep in the middle of it, I don't think He's happy with that. If you talk to your girlfriend, wife, best friend, whatever, your most important person in life, you haven't talked to him all day or all week or whatever, and the one time that you're talking to him, you fall asleep in the middle of it, are they going to be happy at all? No way. But if they're constantly having communication all day, they're constantly talking to each other, discussing different things, and then they're at night talking and one drifts off to sleep, I mean, it's all right, as long as it wasn't too important. Okay, so don't make it your bed or your lazy chair. Because there's like one place in the house where you sleep every night, and every time you look at that place, you think of sleep. And it's no imagine that when you get in there and try to pray, you're going to fall asleep. So don't make it your bed or lazy boy. Tip three. This may sound weird, but it really helps. Pray out loud. Pray out loud. It's only recently, actually, that we've gotten to reading our Bibles in our heads and praying out loud. The fact that Eli, when he talked to Hannah, he thought that she was drunk because no words were coming out. She was just moving her mouth and not saying anything out loud. So it's very recently that we've got this notion to just do everything silently in our heads. Now, there are times where you shouldn't probably say your prayer out loud. If you're, talking to someone, be like, Sam, this Sam is just annoying me so bad. Will you please help me, have patience? You probably shouldn't say that loud. That should be, something inside. No offense, Sam. But especially in your scheduled prayers, your habitual prayers, pray out loud. Because our minds wander. You start praying, and then you think, dear Father, thank you for this food. I forgot to go to the grocery store. Man, what am I going to eat? Chick-fil-A sounds really good. And then you're over here when you're supposed to be praying to God. But if you're saying it out loud, you'll know when you've stopped praying because you've stopped talking. And so it's an audible way to help you stay on focus on your prayer. And when you do think of something that something that happens, be like, thank you for this food. Oh, so-and-so needs to, I needed to make her something for dinner. Then just have a notepad. This will help me. Have a notepad. That way you can just write it down and then get back to your prayer. And that way it can be undistracted and you can do your to-do list later. So pray out loud. And that way distractions won't inhibit you as much. Okay, also write down your prayers. Journal. Why would I say that? There's several different reasons, but why would you journal your prayers or write down your prayers? Track your progress. Good, very good. What else? Exactly, you can go back over it and see, well, prayer really does work. I never would have thought that me praying to God about this specific thing, and God answered that. He listened to me and answered it. And so that gives you more encouragement to continue praying. And it also gives you a way to kind of flesh out your prayers. If you're writing it, you can have, instead of like stumbling through it sometimes, you can have a really thoughtful prayer before God. You don't have to do this all the time. This is something you do like occasionally. But it can really improve your prayer life a lot. That's really good. I'll just say this now. I had a plan later, but use prayer not just for yourself, but use it for others too. It affects people a lot when you're praying with them, when you're praying for them. We kind of toss that around sometimes. I'll be praying for you. When you can tell somebody really means it, and when somebody actually like stops and prays with you, or Heidi even suggested, write down a prayer that you have for them and send that to them and give that to them. It can be really effective, especially when somebody's going through just a really hard time in their life. They look back at those prayers and really take encouragement. They can really, it can really lift them up. So use prayers not just for yourself, your own personal life, but use it as a tool to encourage others as well. I think that's a really good thing to do. Okay, this is number five. It has many different things, counter sections in it. But number five is plan your prayers. It's different than scheduling your prayers. What I mean by planning your prayers is have a thought process for your prayer. Because you may not think it now, you may think it now. There's a lot to pray for. Like, there's a ton to pray for. You have, like, the country, then you have the brothers and sisters, and the more you get to know them, the more problems they have, the more you have to pray for them. And then there's the preachers, there's the elders, there's the congregation as a whole, then there's the congregations elsewhere, and there's those elders and preachers, and then there's your family, and then your extended family, and then there's the lost ones, there's the struggling brothers. There's your own problems and own things you have. There's Thanksgiving. There's adoration. There's just a lot to pray for sometimes. And so it can be really overwhelming. You're like, where do I start? And so plan your prayers. And I'm going to give you some tips for this. And this is probably one of the best things that I learned for myself. Pray in categories. This helps me a lot. There's 10 billion different ways, probably, that you can pray in different categories. These are the ones I've learned. This is one option. You get 3x5 cards, and you can write different things on Thanksgivings, adoration, this person, you know, this congregation, the elders, and you just, as you're praying, you just go through that 3x5 card, and you just, you know, okay, what are all the things I'm praying, thinking for, and you just list those, and you listen from the heart, and then you go to the next one. Another thing is the acts of prayers. You probably have heard this. It's four different categories. Adorations. So the first is, you know, just God is so great and wonderful, and you're just praising Him. Second is confessions. So you're confessing towards God all your sins and everything you've done. This is particularly important. I don't think I've talked about this yet, but this is particularly important. Confessions is not for God. It's not just coming for God and saying, you know, I've sinned. It's not for God. It's for us. There's many times I've heard and I've said in my own prayers, you know, God forgive us of all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's fine with a public prayer because you don't want like spout off all your dirty laundry. But in your private prayers especially, I would get very detailed and specific with those confessions. Because if you keep on saying, well, God forgive us me of all my sins, well, where is Satan beating you time and time and time and time again that you keep on having to say that? Get those, think of yourself, and this is part of self-reflection, and that's what prayer does, is makes you self-reflect. Where am I being beat? And it's for you to say, oh, I lost my temper again. Dan is just so horrible, but I need not to lose my temper. Or I need to be nicer to this person. Or be very specific in your confessions before God. The T stands for Thanksgiving. So everything that you're thankful for, and this can span both physical blessings, that things we see around us, but also spiritual blessings. And you may think that spiritual blessings are very limited, but this summer, especially praying with Rick a few times a week, I've really realized that there's so many more spiritual blessings than I've really even thought of. And so when you pray, you thank God for everything He's done, both physical and spiritual blessings, it can really open your mind more to what all God's do and make you love Him even more. And then finally, it's supplications. This is supplications for others, other people's needs, and then also supplications for yourself and what you need. Another version of this is like the fingers. Have you ever done like the fingers prayer? It's usually with little kids. But like, this is God's number one. So, number one finger, God's number one. And then, I think it's, what is it? Others, I think others. And then it's family, the marriage, the ring finger is family. And then you are the farthest away, so you're last. And you just go down your fingers in that way. That's one reason, one way to do it. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul actually gives Timothy some categories to pray. This is a very biblical concept. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessories, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet lives and godly and dignified in every way. So he kind of goes through the same ones that we talked about. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, this is actually also categories. It's what rabbis called an index prayer. So if you look at the prayer and you kind of break it down, in Luke chapter 11, it says that the apostles said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he said this prayer. It says, Our Father who is in heaven, this is verse 9, chapter 6, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, so I've read this before, and I'm like, how does that help the apostles learn to pray? I mean, do you want to just repeat that over and over again? Which is clearly not, because just previous in verse 7, it says, do not heap up empty phrases and repeat over and over. So that's not it. So what is he getting at here? And I think it's what rabbis have thought. It's called the index prayer. And there's six things that are listed here. And God never does anything as sixes. If you ever see sixes in the Bible, it's not actually sixes. It's two sets of three. Just a little tip for numbers. He always uses sevens and then two groups of three if there's a thing of six. So there's two things, two groups of three. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. Okay, there's three things. Those first three things are all heavenly focused. It's thinking of the spiritual, heavenly things. The last three are, give us our day, our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we are forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation. Okay, these are for us mankind as we strive against temptation. So the first one is like our daily bread, you know, give us our physical needs. And then it says, forgive us of our debts, our sins. And then third is lead us not into temptation again. It's for our spiritual needs again, our struggle against sin, to try and be spiritual. And so I think he was leading the index prayer. And each one of those, you can go off and have an entire prayer just on one of those sections. On the daily bread, you can list all the things that God provides for you. And forgive us of our debts. You can think of all the confessions, everything that you've done, and you just lay it out. It's not just simply saying it like that. I think he's given you an index prayer of some categories to go off of. Another tool that you can use, that's it for the categories, but another tool you can use is the Psalms. The Psalms are full of prayers. Pretty much all of them are prayers. You can also use songs, like your songbook songs. These. Have you ever noticed how many of them end in like amen at the end of them? These are prayers. And so the Psalms and song and these songs in the songbook provide you opportunity. And I suggest you to have like a journal or something and have different categories maybe in it. Like when you're feeling sad or when you need to confess or when you're feeling very thankful or you feel like praising God. You have different songs and different psalms by those categories. And so if you're ever feeling just like sad and depressed or worried, you have something to go to. You're like, oh, I remember the song, and it comforts you and it's there for you. Let's actually do that right now. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 8, it's one of my favorites. Okay, Psalm chapter 8. Okay, will you pray with me through the Psalm? Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Father, you are indeed our Lord. Your name is so majestic, it's in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. You've made the firmament so beautiful. Out of the mouths of babies and infants and every human being, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the danger. And you're there, our protector, our guide, and you're there for us. When I look at the heavens and the work of your fingers and the moon and stars which you've set in place, and everything that you created, the birds and the trees and everything that you've given us, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? What are we? We are just but specks of dirt that just passed in time. Yet you have made us a little lower than heavenly beings. And you've crowned us with glory and honor that we don't deserve at all. You've given us dominion over the works of your hand. You put all things under his feet, our feet. All sheep and oxen and the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven and the fish in the sea. And whatever passes in the path of the sea, you've made us ruler of everything. You've given us so much more than we deserve. So much more than we could ever imagine. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are a wonderful God. You spoil us with your riches. Help us to never take you for granted, for you are majestic. And all these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen. So that was a very adoration prayer. It's a prayer. praising God and just be in awe of His glory. There's other prayers, if confession. Psalm 51 is great for that. Just kind of go through it, and the Psalms are a great, great help to your prayer life. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 18, does anyone have any questions or comments in that section? Kind of the practical things that we can use. What are some things that you use in your life, or is there something that you use in your life that really helps you, or some tips that you have, or a category that really that you go by that you like? Again, that's kind of like, that goes back to helping each other with prayer and also being an accountability partner. Because not only can you help each other in your prayer life, but you can also help each other in just your Christianity and your walk with God. Having an accountability partner, somebody who's there with you, is so important to Christianity and walking with God. You need someone there to help you. Over and over again in the Proverbs and Wisdom, it says, if one falls, well, who will be there to pick him up? You need a second or two cord is not easily broken. A three cord is even harder. I'm paraphrasing there. But it's having many people together. And that's what the church is for. It's what we're here for, is to help each other. And if you don't want to, I guess sometimes we're so afraid that we're the only ones struggling, that we're the only ones. Everyone else in the church is perfect except for me. I'm the only one struggling. And I know that was like forever. I thought, everyone's perfect and I'm like just over here struggling to death. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? But oftentimes, the very thing that you're struggling with, a lot of other people are struggling with. And if you're especially your best friend or someone you're close to and you're like, hey, I've been struggling with this. Oftentimes, they're struggling with the very same thing. And you can really help each other out. And because it's a lot easier to withstand temptation if you have each other with you. Remember that we were talking about the armor of God and the shield of faith. Another preview for next week. But I'll use it now. The shield of faith. Usually, Roman shields were not used for combat type of things. The main function of the Roman shield was to guard against arrows, fiery arrows from the devil. And the shields weren't as effective by yourself. If you're by yourself, usually they'd spread out in kind of a kind of formation like this. And so your sides could be hit, your above could be hit. But if you have a shield, and the buddy beside you has a shield, and the buddy beside him has a shield, and you got people protecting behind you, sending their shields above you, and you march like that, then you have people all around you, helping you, protecting you. And that's a very fearsome foe for the devil. And so if you have somebody who is helping for you and praying for you and being there for you, it's a lot easier to march forward and have courage to march forward and face that enemy and take him down. If you're willing to interlock shields with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And above anyone in this world, we should be willing to do that. So, very good point. Okay. Anything else? Any other comments or questions? Okay. Luke chapter 18. The fan has turned my Bible. There's a lot of prayers in the Bible. There's a lot of prayers. There's prayers. There's a lot of people who prayed in the Bible. A lot of them, like Elijah and other people like that, I feel like so insignificant next to. Like, I know James says that your prayer is just as much, but I'm like, but I'm not Elijah. But this is one guy I can really relate to a lot. And sometimes I really feel like this guy. And so Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes to all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beating his breast, said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. What do you learn about prayer from the sinner, not the Pharisee, the sinner? What do you learn about prayer? What attitudes should we have going to God in prayer? We should be humble and lowly. We should not approach like the Pharisee did and think that we know all the answers. Would you be willing to go up to God's throne room and say, hey, I want you to heal me of my sickness right now. I have a snotty nose and I don't like it. Would you want to do that before the throne of God? I mean, if you look back at Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah, I'm not Isaiah, if you can't tell, I'm not Isaiah, and he, when he got before the throne of God, just fell down. He just crumpled. He wasn't even trying to pay respect. He just crumpled because God was so holy. And then the beast on each side were saying, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And it was just so overwhelming that he just crumpled. And what the one thought he had in his brain was not, hey God, you've been mistreating me. I mean, these people that you put me with are awful. They always complain. No, his one thought is, I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be thinking the same thing. We better be practicing right now. And not have a haughty attitude when we come before God in prayer, thinking that he owes us or something. We're lucky to have prayer to communicate with him. And we should remember that we are sinners, just like this tax collector said. Another thing about prayer that this man had, was that he believed that God had a power to do something about it. He had a power to do something about his prayer. In James, I believe it's 1 verse 6, he says, if you pray, but pray without faith, and you don't believe God will actually do it, I mean, that's basically worthless. You should pray and believe and trust and have faith that God will be able to do something about what you ask. And then also, thirdly, which is more, more astonishing, we kind of hit on this earlier, is that somehow, I don't know how it happens, but somehow me saying something to God made God do something, which is something that's really astounding. Like, can you, like, arrange a meeting with the president right now? Or, you know, the governor or the mayor even? No. But we can talk to God, the creator of everything, the great God. And he will do something about our problems and our situation. I mean, that's astounding. And he, the tax collector, was a sinner going there. And when he had prayed to God, it changed. The situation changed and he was now justified. Just by praying to God. It's astounding to me that it happens. And finally, the last thing that we can learn from this tax collector is he actually prayed. I know it's astounding. You practice prayer, you actually have to practice prayer. But he prayed. You can go to all these youth lectures, you can go to seminars, you can hear other people pray, you hear sermons about prayer, you can read every scripture of the Bible, but you never get good at prayer, you never have prayer as a part of your life, you'll never experience the power of prayer unless you actually start praying. And that's where you need to begin. These are some helpful tips, these are some helpful ways to do it. But you have to start praying. And you may fumble around, you may say, I don't know if this is working. But if you keep trying it and you get in the habit of it, sooner or later, God will show you that prayer really works. You'll draw closer with God. I'm telling you this from experience. I had a miserable prayer life. Like, awful. I would pray at meals if I was lucky. It's pretty much what it was. And that was it. And even then, it was the standard, thank you for this food, please help me have a good day, in Jesus' name, amen. That was it. Did not have a relationship with God whatsoever. But slowly, this year, starting in January of 2016, I started my prayer life, and it came by bits and pieces. It started with a group of guys, just like five of us, just getting together and praying every week. And then it started with some hard things in my life that, you know, I just had a mind for prayer. Just like going through this so much that God just helped me. And then eventually turned into this summer where Rick and Andy and everyone here has helped me better my prayer life. I pray for stuff and then stuff comes up. I pray that I will be able to meet someone I've been praying that I'd be able to meet someone I could share the gospel with. That he can use me as someone to encourage someone, to bring someone to the gospel. Before I know it, I have I'm studying with 14 different Russians, Russian Christians, and it's astounding what God is doing in my life. And it's addicting. It's addicting. You can finally see that God, the power of prayer. And you don't want to be without it. So taste and see that the Lord is good. And that His power is with us. Will you pray one more time with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you that you be with all of us. That you be with us as we try to build a relationship with you. That we seek to grow our spiritual life, our prayer life with you. Help us to get to know you better and help us in this area. Because it's hard. It's hard sometimes. because we don't have visual context of you. We don't visually see you. But open our eyes to see the work that is around us. You are a magnificent God. You're a holy God. The fact that you would listen to us is just mind-boggling. Help us in our daily walks with you. Help us to never forget you or turn away from you. Help us to always constantly lean on you as our guide. Help us in our area of prayer. Please be with these young kids as they grow up. Give them a taste of who you are and the pleasure that you could bring to their lives. For you are a God that gives rich and plentiful blessings. Show them your goodness and your love. The love that started with creating us and give us so many blessings and was manifold and seen in your Son dying on a cross for our sins. Thank you for everything you've done. Use us and mold us to your will. All these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.